All right, everyone. This is the, I think, believe the last session of the day. And today we're going to be talking about, like I said, the other hopeful solution for VCH, rather than having to change its security model, would be adoption. And we're going to be talking about social impact and adoption. I have my panelists up here. I have a little bit of a opening introduction that I want to do before I introduce the panelists. I'm actually going to be joining you guys sitting down, so if you don't mind scooting down one, I would appreciate that. But filled in a room with entrepreneurs, in kind of the basis of the VCH Plus concept and the conference of bringing builders together with investors and community to build businesses, me as an entrepreneur wanted to share, you know, kind of a message that I think you know, I've really based all my companies in the way we market, in the way we speak to customers, the way we speak to users to win over hearts and minds. So this is something that I found about over 10 years ago, 15 years ago, how to communicate marketing. It was by a gentleman, Simon Sinek. You guys have probably seen him out there. He did a TED talk probably 15 years ago. And just saying the way we speak to people, we should tell people why we do things, not how we do things. And I'll go into some examples of that. But essentially, people don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. And I want that to kind of sink in. And if anyone wants to talk to me afterwards or offsite just about, you know, building businesses and marketing and sustainability, in growing users, something I love to talk about and something I've been investing heavily in myself for my companies. So I want to talk about, you know, how to capture whys of, obviously, like Bitcoin Cash has a why, right? And it may be different in a decentralized ecosystem to everyone, but also your specific companies may have different whys. So this is just an example of, you know, big companies in America today, you know, how they speak to people, and they don't necessarily explain how their products work, but they explain why they do it. So like, for example, Tesla, to accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy, doesn't tell you how a car works, doesn't tell you about products and features and what the car does, but it's simple messaging of why the company exists and why anybody should care. And furthermore, there's several other examples. Apple, to challenge the status quo and to think differently. Again, nothing about how their new products and features work, just simply why they exist and the type of people that they are trying to attract. Again, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And this was an exercise we did just towards Bliss, and it was a very fun exercise I did with my my co-founders of Bliss here, Jeremy and Jonathan. You know, we really tried to come up with why people should come to Bliss. Very good luck, good here. And this video was kind of an inspiration of that, but essentially our mission here is to inspire innovation and curiosity in Bitcoin Cash for further development to attract users. So it's something I wanted to share as we're jumping on the topic of, you know, creating more users and businesses in this room that are looking to seed investment or grow profits. I thought this was useful marketing or useful messaging that I found useful in my career.
What's BCH list?
But without further ado, we're going to hop into our panelists and we're going to go over some topics to do with adoption. And I'll go ahead and I'm going to give them all the first question. And with that first question, they can also introduce themselves as they are all mic'd up. So we'll start at the far left with Saqib. And Saqib, the first question is, in your opinion, how is BCH doing with adoption? And if you could answer that question with your introduction bio.
Thank you so much. And firstly, it's an honor and privilege to be presenting with you all today. It's my second time here at Bliss. And hopefully, I'm hoping next year I'll be on the podium presenting the project that I've been working on. So as a background, it's really hard for me to define myself because I have so many different things going on. But if anybody ever had to remember me, I would love it. It's not about BCH, but I'm an orthopedic pediatric surgeon. I've worked on five continents as a surgeon in disaster zones and other areas. And I'm currently working at a charity in Cambodia, working with impoverished children and operating on them for free. On my side, job. I work with General Protocols for the last 3 years, building and developing their products and being the kind of push behind BCH Bull and the marketing and the promotion and the UI and the development. And I'm extremely proud that BCH Bull is kind of a flagship product for BCH. And the last one, which is the most important one in relation to the question, is that I've developed a journal which is targeting the massively profitable publishing industry, which is gatekeeping medical research. And to answer the question of how BCH is doing in terms of adoption, in my technical answer is the first thing when I was building the journal was I needed to build a system that allows the journal to integrate with Bitcoin Cash and payments. And I was quoted by a developer $20,000 to allow my journal on my platform to accept Bitcoin Cash payments. This was back in 2021. And I was like, well, that's wild. And then I discovered Prompt Cash. And Prompt Cash was just so, it was already there, completely easy. Got it integrated within a second, and it was amazing. And so having that tool allowed me to just adopt Bitcoin Cash as a payment network instantly. And so that was amazing. And so the next question is, how do I get adoption from my users? And that is becoming a bit of a challenge. So the journal is becoming extremely successful. It's getting adoption. We've got 400 users. We've got multiple peer reviewers. I won't talk about the model, but I'm onboarding Bitcoin Cash to places all over the world. So in the last 3 months, we've sent Bitcoin Cash to Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Tanzania, Malawi, Nepal, Pakistan, India, Sri Lanka, Italy. These are all new Bitcoin Cash users. And they know nothing about crypto, and they don't really care about the technology and the whole thing. They just wanted to earn via the journal. And so they're very educated, very smart people, surgeons, medics. But I think the vast majority, when I've sent them crypto, this is what I'll challenge a little bit on Callisto and some of the current wallets, is that they've all, not all of them, but vast majority of them have lost their crypto because they didn't understand the seed phrase, they didn't understand how to back it up, they didn't understand the technology behind it. And so one of the challenges I'm having is recommending a wallet that actually allows a no-coiner to understand very easily what they're getting and how to protect it in a very simple, easy way.
We'll do a grading. 1 out of 10, how good is VCH doing on adoption?
In my network,
global adoption, and one being nobody.
With, I can only talk about the medical profession, and I would say it's one, because my real network knows nothing about crypto, and when I mention Bitcoin Cash, they all just think Bitcoin and scam and what is this? Every single person. So I would say Bitcoin Cash in my network of the world is one.
Thank you, Saqib. The next gentleman here you may recognize from formerly Twitter X, Mr. Sally Mayweather, Sal the Agoras. You want to give your introduction and give your summary of how you think VCH is doing with adoption?
Sure. So my name is Sal Mayweather. You guys may follow me on Twitter, Sal the Agoras. Thank you. I think it's done pretty well in retail adoption. I mean, especially like relative to other coins, that's always been our strength, right? It was P2P Cash, and I think because we sort of carried the Bitcoin name, whenever a company or an exchange accepts crypto, we're always one of the ones in there, and that's always been our strong point. I think we have sort of fallen off a little bit. Like, we've probably went from, like, I'm talking like relative to other cryptos, I would say like adoption was probably at a 9, but maybe now we're at like a 7.5 or an 8. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about some different ways to improve that.
That's very nice. Elliot, I know you had a speech earlier, but if you want to jump in and talk more about yourself or tell us how VCH is doing with adoption.
Yeah, so I'm going to chime in there with what Sal was saying. So if you're looking at it from other crypto point of view, then BCH, I think it's still very high. I think it's one of, 8, 9, 10 when compared to other cryptos. But I think it's obvious to say if anyone's, actually out there in the real world, that adoption of any crypto is 0.00001. Like, there's 8 billion people to adopt, basically.
It's still something.
It's still something. Thinking of what Callisto said, the Satoshi quote, that, we'll even 20 years, we'll have loads of transactions or none. And I think when we look at that and we look at, all the steam that was happening with Bitcoin up until the split, and the usage and the growing, we haven't seen that exponential growth. Like, we had the split and the fork, and since then, Bitcoin Cash has done really good in certain areas. In the Philippines right now, we're seeing great adoption. But when looking at a global part, when people say like, hey, it's not early anymore, it's really late. No, it's not true at all. We're right at the very start. We haven't even begun this journey yet.
1 out of 10.
One,
okay.
All right, so and it's still in the pole position from all cryptos at one.
so, so, So my next question is, you know, to get from, you know, wherever you guys started, we'll go back to Saqib. If we're at a one, especially in your industry, how do we? My question was, what is the largest challenges VCH faces with adoption? Essentially, how to grow that up from your perception in the medical field? What challenges does it face? And you kind of hit on a little bit, but if you want to dig deeper into that.
I think the key is the utility that it and the problems that it solves. And that's the challenge, that it's not easy to find a niche that Bitcoin Cash specifically can resolve. But if you've got a problem that is solved by the currency and the properties of that currency, and then you've got enough user base who need that problem solving, and it, in my opinion, has to be relatively a niche user base, when they onboard into it and understand the property and use it and have a micro economy of using that, that's how it sustains itself. And then as that small micro economy develops and more people onboard into that niche, I think that's the way it's going to get taken. Because we can have retail and we can have all these other issues, but I just can't see how that is going to actually network effect enough to be sustainable unless it has the properties that the people need.
Well, you mentioned one issue. A lot of the people that are getting paid in VCH are losing their keys too.
Right.
Can you elaborate more on that and how there's that, that's obviously a challenge and may turn them off to pay me in something else that I won't lose?
Yeah, it is a challenge because it's very frustrating. Like, just one of my board members just a couple of weeks ago said, which wallet did I use? And I couldn't remember. I can't remember how I onboarded him at the time. And so they've changed their phone or they haven't maintained what they've got. And so you think, well, the problem is I want, obviously, them to adopt the currency and then start using it. But I need them to understand the technology a little bit for them to embrace it. They have to have some baseline knowledge. And so should I pay them? I can't pay. The problem, well, it's not a problem. It's a blessing that I can't use. And this is the beauty of the product that I have. I can't use any other payment system. I can only use Bitcoin Cash, with the exception of perhaps Litecoin or any other crypto that's trying to be a payment network. But like Elliot just said, BCH is the number one payment network crypto oriented service, right? So I can't choose anything else. So I'm hampered and blessed by the fact that I have to use BCH to pay my reviewers, and I have to accept BCH to get payments back in. So what I need is a better onboarding system, and it's been a frustration for me that I don't have a go-to wallet. I've been changing the wallet I've been recommending people to go to, and I don't have a very clear pathway to teach them how to use it in a simple way that doesn't waste their time, and it gives them the very basic essentials in a very, very quick way that I'm confident that they're secure in it. So I would love to see that.
So we have some more questions later about wallets, and we'll dig deeper into that, and a lot of representation in the room right now. But look, we'll go to Sal next. Sal, you said we were at a 9, went down to a 7. How do you see BCH climbing itself back up to that 9 level or even a 10?
So like the standard answer that I would give a room full of like newbies is to just use it. It's P2P cash. You know, I started a company called 3D Printer Go Burr because I thought that the idea was it's P2P cash, right? And some people don't want politicians to know that they're buying 3D printers. So here's a great solution and way to use and promote cryptocurrency. And it was wonderful. We did a ton of sales in crypto, and I thought that was great. But you guys know all that, so that's like not even a surprise to this audience. But what I think this audience should know, so like more people who are more have more expertise in crypto, is privacy, guys. We need privacy desperately on the Bitcoin Cash chain, especially now. We've seen, like, I guess it started with Ross, but it's really the war on crypto has really ramped up under Joe Biden. We've seen the SEC weaponized against every major crypto institution. You know, Roger Ver has been persecuted by the political class. Tons of every major figurehead from all the different tribes in crypto have been persecuted. So, you know, privacy is no longer optional, right? And we should have known this because the Austrian economists always told us about fungibility. And I think a lot of us sort of took that for granted. We thought, oh, well, you know, we have pseudonymity, which is, you know, it's pretty good. But it's not good enough anymore. And I think that if we can somehow
I'm not the guy to do it. I'm one of the dumber people in this room. A lot of the technical talk goes right over my head. But I'm sure a lot of you out there can probably figure this out. Like, we need privacy, guys. So that's, like, I think a key to getting adoption in this age of persecution and the war on crypto.
From your perspective, that will get us back up to a 9 to a 10?
I think it'll help a lot. But again, the key is we have to use it. If we have a business out there, accept Bitcoin Cash. Make it simple. We have to compete with other cryptocurrencies too. And I think that's where privacy comes in. So,
yeah, I won't mention who, but we were speaking to a developer yesterday and kind of the excitement with privacy technology with the VM limits upgrade tomorrow. And I found one of the responses, and not the unusual, but like probably what you don't want to hear is that, you know, like a fear of being the one to champion that because of the persecution. So curious to see how the community will respond in general to having the ability to privacy tool, but also stay clear of, you know, the status quo.
The SEC.
May not like it. Yeah. So thank you for that. We'll go to Elliot next. Elliot, we are at a 1 right now, but I think you kind of jumbled us in with the rest of crypto.
Yeah.
So maybe from the perspective of crypto, we're doing better, but so maybe it's generally crypto ahead of BCH. How do we get at least to a 2 or 3 here?
Yeah, so how do we get this? I mean, for me, the 2 or the 3 is, of course, a nice stepping stone. How do we get it to a 10? I imagine that when it does happen, it's going to be explosive. And in a couple of years, it will go from the, you know, the 1, the 2 to mass adoption. And it's like what I was presenting about. I think, you know, like the merchant adoption that's going on in Townsville or BCH City and in Tacloban City in Philippines, this is really important. And I'm very proud of Bitcoin Cash because of this. We need to use it and we need places to use it. But the challenge with the store is it's and the merchant adoption is it's not very scalable. So you adopt, you know, 100 stores, you adopt 200 stores. Okay, but how many users do you need to be able to feed those stores so that they understand how to use Bitcoin Cash, they don't forget it, so they don't lose their wallet and their keys? You know, is it 10 users per shop that use it frequently or 100 users? And what's frequently? Is it once a week, once a month? Like, there's quite a volume there, and it's quite challenging. So I see the key for mainstream adoption of Bitcoin Cash being digital, like being the internet magical money of the world, and I think, you know, that's what my presentation was about. Fail hard, fail often, iterate, persevere. I think if anyone here says like I know how it's going to happen, well, you're lying, because otherwise you would do it and it would be there. Right, and that's a great thing about the free market. If you look at most inventions, it was discovered by accident. Like, someone was trying to make this, but they made that, and it's like, hey, that works, and they sell it. Right, that's just how discovery works. And then you tell the story afterwards, like some lie that was always what I intended. So what I just invite everyone is the key to success is just get your ideas out there. See if there's traction. Don't just stay and build for perfection. Get it out. Get some market reaction to your particular idea or product. Iterate. Make it better, scrap it, and think, hey, do you know what? This is just not getting the feedback that I require. And it will be like an idea that no one's thought of right now that is the success and is going to drive it. Or it's going to be emergent coding there. So let's see.
We have the opportunity, you know, all of us up here, Sakibi, may have more than others, but not like a high development technique. But I think it's good for a room of developers to kind of hear feedback from people that want to see adoption further. We'll first kind of pick on the wallets in the ecosystem. We'll go back, start with Saqib. Saqib, if you could let us know what are your favorite or favorites BCH wallets and some at least one new feature you'd like to see implemented within the next year.
My favorite wallet has changed and it keeps continuing to change, because I used to love Zapit, and then I switched, and then it was Paytaka for a bit, and then Selene, and now I came to Bliss with the Cashionize APK. So, I've played with them all, and I think they all have really good, important, unique selling points. And I think they all have certain flaws, and no one wallet is going to meet the demand of every single user. But I think there isn't one that's an easy onboard for my target audience. Personally, I think that there's a gap in just the combining education with the wallet, and I would love to see some way that you can onboard easily, slickly, beautifully, without having too many steps, but ensuring that the new user understands what they have in their hand. And the second thing, which kind of excites me more than everything else, is one of the questions I get a lot as a new user when they get Bitcoin Cash is always the volatility question, and it's a major problem. And so I had this one user from Pakistan just contact me a month ago, and she'd received $20 of BCH value by doing two peer reviews, and she's super excited, and she was messaging me, and I don't want to be dealing with this type of, you know, my job is get the journal going and all this kind of stuff, and I'm dealing with this user that's messaging me about Bitcoin Cash and how can I stabilize it, and I want it in US dollar value because I'm worried about the volatility, and I'm having these emails in the middle of the night saying, okay, well, how do I get this user in Pakistan to, and so I'm like, all right, so I'll just tell her to go to Binance, set up a Binance account, convert it to USDT, so it's off my back. So what I would love, and I'm really excited by this stablecoin situation. Right now, there's a bit of a barrier to entry to get a stablecoin, and I would love a wallet to be able to extremely easily, you've got Bitcoin Cash, you click a button, switches it over to a stability value and you within the app itself. And that would be so easy for me to onboard, because then I can just send the BCH and say, if you want to convert it, it's in the app, it's stable, don't have to worry about it.
So if you have one improvement this year, that
yeah, I would love to see
the developer, you know, wallet builders to have that.
I want to be able to see a switch button and just convert from a cash token to a stability cash token within the wallet. I'd be so happy.
Awesome. Sal, same question to you. Favorite wallet, or maybe shout out a couple, and one feature that you would like to see adopted in.
I guess the trouble with wallets is that like everybody here wants the best Bitcoin Cash wallet. Everybody at the Monero conference wants the best Monero wallet. But the reality is most people in crypto hold multiple coins. So you really need a wallet that's going to check all those boxes. And of course you want the wallet to do as much as possible. I mean, there's wallets nowadays that have like encrypted messenger services built in and the DEX just built right into the wallet. So you want to have as many features as possible, but the trick is to do that in a way that's friendly for the user. It has to have a good user experience. Right now, Edge Wallet is really on top of the game. They have this like cutting edge feature, which it's common sense, actually. We were talking about this on lunch. They have this new feature called Duress Mode, which just launched the other day. So if like somebody puts a gun to your back and is like, give me your crypto, you can just type in like a dummy PIN and you get like a dummy balance on your wallet. And you're like, look, I only have like a cent. You can't take all my crypto. And frankly, that should be standard. And that really should be standard, not only just on wallets, but on like ATMs and everything. So I'm really digging the Edge wallet right now. On my phone, I have like 1,000 wallets downloaded. Paytaka, Bitcoin.com, the Edge wallet. I've got Cake wallet. I've got the Zeno wallet. I mean, I've got wallets coming out of my ass. And it would be nice to sort of consolidate them. But again, I'm not the guy to do that. So,
but you would advise that would be one ask to the wallet developers for a specific Bitcoin Cash one to have a privacy thing where they can't.
Duress mode would be wonderful. I also think, like, again, if you can fit as many features into that wallet as possible, that would be great. So, yeah.
Elliot, what about you? We were talking a lot about wallets over lunch.
Yeah. So Bitcoin Cash is full of incredibly smart people. So I agree. Like, I think, you know, I'm joining. I'm one of the most stupid people in the room. Very smart people, very geeky people. As well, like a lot of developers, and it shows in the wallets, to be honest. So when thinking about the next billion users, you know, the next billion users, the vast majority of those users aren't highly smart, highly geeky people. I'm the same as Saqib. I've been recommending lots of different wallets. Also Zapit, I think Zapit looks quite smooth. I've had some challenges there. I've been using Paytaka. I love Joe Marm, what he's doing. Supports cash tokens really well. And I think for me, that's like, if you're into tokens, cash token, Paytaka wallet is the one that I would recommend. But when I'm showing new people just P2P payment and cash, you know, I might get lambasted for this because I know it's not that popular right now. And it has definitely got worse than when I was using it back in 2021. But the Bitcoin.com wallet still has this snappiness and animation that for the average person that's not a geeky, not a very highly intelligent person, it's nice. It's got that sort of Apple sophistication. So right now, it really depends on what you're looking for. And there's a lot of great wallets out there, but my wish for the wallet developers would be the functionality is great, and for everyone that's already in Bitcoin Cash and everyone here, like, that's really important, and we're going to keep on iterating and adding in new features as the chain improves. But the core experience, I would like to see lots of focus going in this to be super simple, to open it up, and it's, you know, send, receive, and it's really clear for anyone that has got no idea about, you know, what's a QR code? Is that like my login password? Is this, you know, is this, what is this? Because of course for us it's very simple, it's obvious we've got some experience, but for a new user, blah. So and have this, when I'd like, you know, so I'm someone that I'm quite into the Apple world, which I know isn't that popular in an open source community. But you know, when you receive a coin, if you have like a little animation of BCH flipping and the sound, a little bit of dopamine releases in the head, or if I'm sending you a fiendish token or vice versa, that you even see the kind of token that you're receiving, I think that'd be really nice. Like these little things, it's so superfluous, but that experience, it needs to be a joy to use if we wanna get the next 8 billion people using Bitcoin Cash. So that's what I'd love to see some focus on over the next 12 months.
Yeah, as we were talking at lunch, my wife said, I don't want to, you guys would all speak in high level, but if they could just make it like Venmo, which is now just like it's got Bitcoin Cash in there too, which I thought was pretty cool. Bitcoin Cash got adopted by Venmo, but yeah, I think that just plays the UI, you know, like user utility.
If I could just add one thing, it was something we were discussing at lunch, which I think is really important. Like, I know we hate fiat and we hate banks, but they've invested like super amounts of money with the best programmers to develop like apps. So all of my banking apps over the last couple of years have all been updated to be truly enjoyable experiences. So I don't enjoy fiat. I don't like it. I much prefer Bitcoin Cash. But actually when I'm using the banking apps, they're amazing. So for all app developers out there, just go and, you know, try out some banking apps and think about how it's set up. Because the more that experience is like what people are already used to, like you're saving like all of the millions that they've invested to you know get those benefits. So
and you're also competing. Bitcoin Cash wants to be a bank for the world, right? A decentralized banking system. You're competing with the fiat world. You're not competing with other cryptocurrencies. You're competing with the user experience of the banks. And honestly, every single app that I've got, there's a banking app in every country that I've worked in, is amazing.
Yeah,
I genuinely love checking my balance. It's very easy to send money. It's very easy to do bits and pieces, and I don't need to check. Like, it's easy to do, and I find every crypto app I've ever used to be, I'm having to think about it quite a bit to figure it all out. And so it's quite easy to have a standard to get to. Just got to follow that and just make it the decentralized payment network. I think it'll be easy.
The challenge of that, though, is that a lot of that ease of use comes from the centralization. Like a lot, and obviously we're all trying to do the opposite of that. So the difficulty is in recreating that user experience in a decentralized way.
So we'll hop over to Cash tokens, as we've been talking a lot about. So Keith, you kind of answered this, but if I'm going to take that out, we got an announcement yesterday of a new stable coin, and now we have a Mariah updating at the end of this month. Now that we've received stable coins, what token would you like to see next, or what would you like to see from the Cash tokens ecosystem? I know your number one ask was stable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I got asked this a little bit. Somebody privately asked me, should the journal have its own Cash token, right? And I was like, we have no need for a Cash token. All we need is Bitcoin Cash send and receive. And so from a personal perspective or from the project perspective, there's no reason for a Cash token. But if I want to see Cash tokens actually be adopted, you know, sadly there is a number go up situation. And what I want to see is successful Cash tokens projects. Because the only way that you're going to get adoption of enterprise and entrepreneurship and products on Cash tokens is there if there are successful money making products on it. And so I don't really care which Cash token product is next, but I want to start seeing successful adoption of the product that then generates interest in the whole ecosystem, and then the whole thing goes. So whichever one wants to create it is great, but I don't mind.
Gotcha. Sal, any feedback for the token builders?
Yeah, so, well, two things there. Number one, stablecoins scare the shit out of me. I've always felt like a coin whose value is tied to the whims of a central banker is by definition not stable. It really needs to be tied to some market commodity. But I guess that's like a sort of separate discussion. Right now in the US,
there's two bills in before the parasites in Congress, the Genius Act and the Stable Act. And essentially, these are backdoor attempts to sort of turn existing stable coins into CBDCs. Rather than having the Fed create their own stable coin, they're just going to take over Tether, and just everybody who's using Tether is now using a CBDC. And again, that's why I think we need privacy on a lot of these chains and a lot of these coins. But so far as tokens go, like I've always, as an agorist, I've always been promoting this idea of a Tokenrian explosion, which is not my term. I don't know if any of you guys know Gabriel Cardona, the old R&D guy from Bitcoin.com. He really clued me into this. And, you know, if we can tokenize securities and assets, imagine what a disruptive effect that would have on a lot of these regulators, like, for example, FINRA. What is FINRA? FINRA is just a cartel of brokers. So they sort of monopolize the brokerage industry. And if we can tokenize securities and assets and then trade them in a permissionless fashion, we can make these parasites irrelevant. And I think that would be a great way for us to sort of punch back at the SEC and sort of make them irrelevant. And I'm not sure any chain has really done that in an efficient way yet. So that's sort of the biggest use case from an agorist perspective that I can come up with for tokens.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
Elliot, feedback for the token builders. What do you want to see this next year?
Yeah. So it's interesting because like the original question was cash tokens, and then we're talking about tokens. And I think this is one of the, like, if we could go back in time, should we have called it cash tokens? Maybe not, right? Because cash tokens enable so much more than tokens and meme coins. Just as like an anecdote, when we set up the r/cash tokens, like the Reddit subreddit, we didn't actually allow meme coins at the start because like, no, we don't want it just to become like bullshit. We want it to be real projects and help real entrepreneurs. So what I'd like to see is like the whole cash token ecosystem like going wider. So I think absolutely what you're talking about there is like actual tokens that are representing something real. So stocks, commodities, it is very interesting. As I guess anyone watching, so that we pitched an idea of Blissmaster, of a ticket, using the cash token technology to take over Ticketmaster. You know, the whole One Nation is a 23 billion industry and growing. So what I'd love to see is like more innovation actually using that protocols to offer genuine utility that is not just for like having fun and you know, Ponzi schemes and you know, gambling, but actually interesting business concepts that are attractive to, you know, hundreds of millions or potentially billions of people in the world outside of crypto.
I just want to just, he's 100% right. I couldn't agree more. Like, we need tokens with real utility. And like there's an argument that meme coins and NFTs and stuff will help drive adoption. Maybe there's something to that. But as an agorist, I really want to see like the disruptive potential thrown in there. So, and you know, there's so many different ways to apply this. I used to have a podcast called The Agora, and I used to have John McAfee on, and he would just rant about medical tokens. And he was convinced that these medical tokens were going to be like the key to solving the healthcare crisis. And there was a company called Doke Token, which I think they've since changed their name. It's like maybe like MCT or something like that. But the idea is you give them access to your healthcare data, and in response, you get these Doke tokens, and these tokens can be exchanged for real-world health services like telemedicine and shit like that. So I think that's another great use case. There's a million. We can probably do a whole panel just on the ways to use tokens in a disruptive fashion. So be creative. Use your mind. You know, like tokens can represent anything. Look at the metaverse. Everything in the metaverse is a token. During the scamdemic, we were prohibited from meeting amongst ourselves by the political class, just like the colonial Americans were prohibited from gathering in taverns because they were afraid of, you know, they were going to start some sort of rebellious movement. But in the metaverse, again, people think it's like all bullshit and stuff like that, but there's a real world use case here. People can get together in the metaverse, and everything in the metaverse is an NFT, or even like homeschooling. Imagine like a future where everybody, you can have like a world-class teacher and students from all over the world can gather in one room virtually, to learn. Sotheby's had like a real store in Decentraland for a while. I know like that token hasn't been doing too well, so I'm not sure if that's still there. But Snoop Dogg had a house in Sandbox, and everybody, the real estate, I don't know if you guys remember, the real estate in the metaverse was like, it outpriced real world real estate for a while. Everyone wanted to live next door to Snoop. So like, there's so many different ways to use tokens, and I think like the sky is really the limit. It's a key aspect of what we're doing here.
Yeah, if I could add to, I get your sentiment, you know, me specifically as not being tied to a dollar, because we all know how that goes, but I also understand from a like Saqib situation that people just want stableness and simple in and out. But the tokenizing of assets, you know, years ago, like when I realized like that it didn't make any sense to really keep much cash around and get going somewhere that I'm not going to get printed away. Like I would even just like use my savings account as like the S&P 500, like just for extra cash because of that annually return 10%. Could you stabilize to like the S&P as like an asset too? I'm sure that would have a better store, you know, just, I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah,
you could stabilize to anything where there's data. And of course, where there's, so I mean, you would have that data. Of course, you'd have an Oracle and there'd be some centralization of that point because someone's having to report that data, different websites, different, you know, absolutely. You could create an, you know, using, as I understand, for like the protocols that are being used by liquidity, you could actually, it doesn't have to be a USD. It could be an ETF. It could be the top 100. You could be literally stabilize like, and bet on the economy that you're in. You know, which for me makes a lot of sense. But like a lot of things, it's about the liquidity too. So you need to make sure there's enough people that are actually interested in that, so there's liquidity with your positions.
You could absolutely have like a basket of commodities that are all tokenized and represent some, you know, index. But I think the other thing too here is like, think about the capital inflows, right? Like so many people are limited right now to invest in stocks and whatnot. But like imagine, you know, if you have like some company out there, instead of going public, you want to raise capital, and normally you would try to get listed. Instead of doing that, imagine you just tokenized your company, and now, you know, people can invest with minimal amounts, like minimal requirements, in a permissionless way. Imagine how much better the world would be if we didn't have those restrictions on capital, if capital could flow freely. And now people in underdeveloped countries can invest in, you know, some the next Apple or something like that. So tokens are absolutely huge. I think most people, even in crypto, don't understand the disruptive potential. Everything is going to be tokenized. If it can be tokenized, it will be tokenized. Art, houses, your car. I mean, we can tokenize a car right now. What's there, a couple hundred people here? We can have you could take a car, divide it into 200 tokens, and then we can have sort of like, you know, use it as like an Uber or something like that. We can all have returns on token. Like, there's so many different ways to use this technology, and I think cash tokens really kind of puts us sort of ahead of the game here.
Very cool. Very cool. A couple more questions, and then we'll go to kind of closing statements for, you know, what you guys like to say to the community, and then if any questions, we'll take those as well. But my next question is, what's the biggest competition of ECH, whether it's another cryptocurrency, governments? And is the future multi-coin or a one-coin future, or let's say a handful of coins? Saqib, we'll start with you. So biggest competition at ECH?
I think is, firstly, I think that you have to accept it's going to be a multi-coin world because we're already so disjointed and tribalistic. And once you're in a tribe as a human, it's very difficult. If you support a football club, you're not going to change your football club allegiance, right? And it's very similar, I think, with crypto. There's just some people that are so hardcore and wired into whatever they're doing. So if you don't accept a multi-coin world, I think you're living potentially in an illusion. There may become a coin that becomes so dominant that it really dismisses the others, but I don't think that's realistic. And so multi-coin is going to be the world that we're in, and Bitcoin Cash has to play its part within that. In terms of competition, If this is again how I chose Bitcoin Cash, if you look at the top 100 coins on CoinMarketCap, like I said, I think in terms of the ones that are pivoting to a peer-to-peer payment network, which is the original vision, there's a handful. Like, I think it's genuinely, and I don't know enough about these other coins, but I think it's Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, Monero, and then a couple of handful of others. But the others are all completely unrelated to payment networks. So if you had to really focus on the competition being a payment network, it's just a handful. And I think they're all struggling to really get the adoption.
I agree with that. Sal, same question to you. Biggest competition right now to VCH And what does the future look like in terms of cash coins?
So we're not competing with like BTC and ETH because they don't do anything. These are shit coins. We're competing with, we need to compete with coins that try to be a medium of exchange, right? Like P2P cash. And there's a handful of coins out there doing a pretty good job. I think we're one of them, if not leading the pack. Dash, Monero, Litecoin, I mean, you name it. There's a lot of coins out there that you can use in an efficient exchange, medium of exchange. But I think we really need that privacy aspect. I think that's really going to help propel us into like the future and sort of help us maintain that competitive edge. What was the second part of the question?
The future, is it a one coin or multi coin?
Yeah,
future?
So I know I'm going to be in the minority here, but I don't think it's a multi coin future. And the reason why is because I'm a student of Mises, and in his book, The Theory of Money and Credit, Mises, who's a hell of a lot smarter than I am, says that a unified market will naturally narrow itself down until only one or two monetary commodities remain. And, of course, the example he gives is gold and silver. And I think if you understand what his point is, it makes a lot of sense, right? He walks through the whole thing much better than I can. But, yeah, I do think that in the end, like, and you'll have coins that do different things and different use cases and stuff like that, and that's always going to be there. But in terms of a monetary commodity, the idea is that there's going to be one money eventually. It might not be in our lifetimes, but eventually there will be one money, and that narrowing down will be based on what he and Menger call saleability, and there's different criteria in Menger's book, Origins of Money, that he lays out, like susceptibility to political and social censorship and transaction fees and stuff like that. Menger wrote this in like the 19th century, and I guess the Maxis still haven't read it. So,
thank you for the Austrian.
Yeah.
Elliot, same question to you. BCH's biggest competition and the future coin market. How many coins are we looking to?
I'm glad I get to answer differently to you both, because Bitcoin Cash biggest competition is fiat, right? That's it. By a long way. The great argument there with every single person I speak to is, with fiat, it's guaranteed to go down in value. Like, that's 100%. Whereas with crypto, we don't know. It's already better, right? That's the pitch. And it makes people laugh, and it's like, yeah, you're right. Shit, I've got to get some of this. And the second part, sorry, was...
Multicoin.
So I'm with both of you. And it really depends on the time period. So over our lives, of course, it's multicoin for sure. Even in 100 years, if you look at OSs, if you look at the payment processing systems today, we've got Visa, we've got MasterCard, we've got PayPal, Venmo, and we've got all of these. And I'd imagine even in 1,000 years, that will still be the case. But just like all of these things, you do have the big players. So, there'll be a few coins, there'll be Bitcoin Cash, there'll be something else in there. But I'm also I wouldn't say it'd be 100%, but there will be a certain point in the future where 99% of the transactions will be just done with this one coin. And that will be this galactic coin, Bitcoin right. Cash, Emerald Bitcoin, at some point in the future. But it will never be that there's not other coins being used. You will always have coins being used with little groups and whatever, and then these things, because humans are tribal. And the idea that, we like to belong, and this idea that we're all going to be like using the same thing, doing the same thing, I think is also flawed, but very much aligned with the logic that, when one coin is being used everywhere, why would you use anything else? What's the point?
So network effect.
Exactly, the network effect. That's why I'm focused very much on one coin, is because if we want to have success against the biggest competitor, which is really important to remind everyone, it's not BTC. Like, really, fuck BTC. It's not important. It's irrelevant. Their market cap's nice. We want that. But nothing to do, but that's not the competition. The competition is fiat. And the only way we're going to beat fiat, I can spend everywhere, every single place. You spend your dollars even in different countries that aren't anything to do with the US. It's crazy. We need that with Bitcoin Cash, or we need that with one coin. And so therefore, it makes sense for me, and I think anyone that loves P2P Cash, is to focus on building the network of the coin that they believe has the most chance of success.
I mean, it's not even just like fiat, it's like the bank itself, right? Because fiat is trash. It's the biggest shitcoin in existence. I mean, what Fartcoin is worth more than the US dollar at this point? But like, it's the bank that like sort of forces, coerces the monopoly. That's the true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to the last question. And this was a conversation we had over the opening podcast, in terms of adoption. You know, I think we agreed that like if we could only get a really good crisis to move everyone onto crypto, I think people drive around their lives and live a pretty good life, and they're not too worried about that question of what money is or if my being slowly inflated away. So my question is, I believe BCH is building the world a lifeboat, but how do we get them off the Titanic of fiat currency before a crisis, or is that what it's going to take? We'll start with Saqib on that question.
I've always said in private circles that it's going to take a crisis, because most people don't think about this high level problem that crypto solves, which is the non-censorship and the decentralization. Most people don't care about that. They have much other bigger problems in their lives to worry about: getting paid, going to work, looking after the kids. And all of us with this high-level thinking that, we want a decentralized system because the banking is controlling everything and the government, monopoly is not what the vast majority of people think about. It's true, right? And the only major use case left of crypto is that. Like, the rest of it, nice, quick payments and instant and borderless, a lot of the fiat has managed to resolve with their various apps and cash apps and Venmos, and it's competitive. So the only real use case left of crypto is the fact that it's non-censored and decentralized. And the only time that people are going to value that is when they are threatened. And the only time they are threatened is when the government is controlling the lives to the point that it's affecting them. And that's going to take the crisis. And there's flashpoints. There's various global flashpoints where that's starting to happen. Perhaps in more frequency than it was 20 years ago, but you can start seeing that the government is cracking down on various parts in various industries, whether it's healthcare, whether it's war, various politics, protesting. There's enough people starting to feel that their freedoms are getting crushed. And that sentiment is growing across the world. And I think it's only when people link the two of feeling oppressed with the solution of having a system that is outside of that oppression. And I think it's going to have to get worse before people really embrace it.
Let's bring on the crisis. Sal, what do you think?
So yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. That's been my thesis in crypto since I got in like 12, 13 years ago. The whole idea was that, the Federal Reserve is driving us into this, they brought us into this liquidity trap, and eventually we're going to end in this sort of inflationary spiral. And crypto was always a lifeboat. So yeah, I think that eventually when the Federal Reserve does finally shit the bed, people can have no choice but to move into crypto. But I also think that, as the state sort of, because the bank is caught in this trap where either they print money and we have hyperinflation, or they stop printing money and we have a terrible recession, they've sort of like a fish out of water. They've become like, they're sort of losing control. And as a response to that, they're sort of clamping down. They're becoming more and more oppressive every day. And I think as they become more and more oppressive, the need or the demand for P2P cash is going to grow and grow and grow and grow until finally we reach what the Austrians called that universal demand, where everybody on earth wanted gold, not because it was useful as money, but because it had this sort of decorative or ornamental purpose. And because everyone already wanted it, it was very easy to become a monetary commodity. In the same way, I think that everyone's going to want P2P cash because the state is going to be so incredibly oppressive. And once everyone wants it, it's going to be very easy at that point to use as a medium of exchange. The question, of course, is when, right? I mean, obviously, we're all very early, so we might be too early, but, that's the way it goes. So,
Elliot, can we save humanity before they... sync?
So first of all, to answer that, like, someone's got to be early, right? So.
Yes, true, fair.
So I'm increasingly of the belief that it may take a catastrophe to get that separation from money from state. But here's a thought experiment. Hands up here who has children. Okay, keep your hand up if your children always do exactly what you tell them to do. Okay, one hand from many. You know, all human beings are born with a desire to be free and autonomous and have self-control. And if anyone with small children, you see this, it's ferocious. And it's not just a human thing. I have cats, I've had many animals, dogs, and all animals want this. You go into a zoo and there's a cage and the lion will walk around in circles and they go crazy. Freedom and liberty is a natural state of life, of all creatures, and it's in humans too. So, you know, I agree, like most people are too busy with life. Something happens though, you know, the average person, they go through many years of indoctrination in the education system, in the state education system, you know, is completely controlled by the state and very much formulated in a way to accept the authority and to not ask too many questions. And then you get jobs and you're busy and you have children, you have growing responsibilities. And it's, you know, for the average adult, like they don't care. They just want a comfortable life and they're more than happy to be a bird in a golden cage. But there's an important part missing here. What about the people that haven't gone through all of that processing? What about the youth? What about, like, you know, the young teenagers who are still zesty and you know, and believe, yeah, screw the man, and they want to be free? And I think this is being missed in crypto. When I look at, like, Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, it tends to be a bit older in, like, a lot of OGs that were there. And I think that there needs to be more interaction with young people, with youths, which I also try to do, you know, with, like, 17, 18, like, people that are also starting university, because they're actually really, really thinking about this in Germany and how important this mission is. Because if you get people that actually really care about it, okay, right now they've got no money. They can't influence the price of Bitcoin Cash. But in a few years, those are going to be the ones that are changing everything. And they're also going to be the ones that end up, like, voting and also maybe becoming politicians. They're going to be the ones that are actually using this. So I think the way that, you know, a real way that we can actually create this without a collapse and do it in a much nicer way, in a much friendlier way, is to aim at the right sort of audience. So let's start watering those seeds.
Yeah, that's I find that very interesting. I heard a good saying. I got really into kind of like what's the term, like extending your life, extension, you know, like even freezing my body. I was like studying, doing that, like wanting to live a long time. And I forget who said it, but it rung a bell that, you know, the youth is so important, and you know, living for a long time is actually may not be beneficial to society. It could be the ossification, because people don't change their minds; they just die. And that's actually, it made some sense in terms of civilization to bring new ideas. If people don't change their minds, they'll eventually die. And I know it sounds kind of strange to say, but time might just be on our friend. And you know, if people are unwilling to change their minds, that they may not.
No, I'm just depressed.
But it's also a good point. Like, for all of you that have children, which I'm guessing most of you do, make sure you're very open about your children, about why you're in Bitcoin Cash and what the reason is. Of course, in a way that's nice and filtered for their little brains, but in a way that they really get it. Like, screw the state, separate money from the state, that's all good. And Bitcoin Cash is the best coin and the best money in the world.
All right, so I wrote out a closing statement for myself, and then I'll let you gentlemen finish. And if anyone has questions, feel free to share. But again, I just want to send my gratitude for everyone for making this trip. You know, I know we got people from how many different countries, Jeremy? 20 different countries, you know, taking this time for something that, you know, we're obviously very passionate about. But I just wanted to share a message. You know, the road to a world of building peer-to-peer electronic cash was never going to be easy. Taking down fiat currencies is probably one of the most monumental tasks that humanity's, you know, ever taken on. I do believe, you know, the hijacking of BTC, which a lot of us, you know, were really encouraged of when BTC was what it was. I think that was inevitable. I think walking in on the state, they weren't going to go down easy. I believe that, you know, Bitcoin Cash and, you know, coins with this sentiment are the resistance that'll move humanity forward. The separation of money and state must take place to liberate humanity from financial censorship and, you know, remove us from the deceitful and evil process of inflating. And I believe BCH is building the most complete ecosystem on the foundation of sound money. And as I stand in a room full of people that are building the tools for more economic freedom, I just want to thank you guys and consider what I first, you know, talked about, you know, really incorporating the why, whatever the why is. You know, for me, you know, the why, there's old Adam Kokesh used to always say, you know, his why was because he just wanted to peacefully destroy the federal government. And I always share that with friends in close circles. So thank you guys so much for, you know, making Bliss possible. And I know I speak for Jeremy and Jonathan as well. But it's been a pleasure to meet all you guys. So Saqib, if you want to close out as well.
Yeah, no, I always close out by with a big thank you, because, again, I haven't had a chance to really discuss the project, but the project that I'm doing is so disruptive to an industry that's got nothing related to cryptocurrency, but it needs cryptocurrency to prove that the model works. And for this to work, I've needed the Bitcoin Cash community to embrace the idea, and they have, and I'm extremely grateful for the support I've received and the changes that we're making, and I would hope that over the next year or two, continue to getting that support until I've managed to get the mass adoption within my own community to embrace the idea and use the currency itself. So it's a big thank you for the support, and I'm really hopeful maybe next year, maybe the year after, I hope to be on the podium with a success story, not just a promise that this is possible, but this has been done. So this is kind of my vow that I hope awesome. That I'll be there.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Closing message.
So I just want to say thank you to you and the organizers of this event, because it's events like this that bring the more passionate people in the community together. So you guys did an excellent job with this conference, and I hope this happens every year. So definitely kudos to you guys. My hat goes off to you guys. Also, you guys out there, it's you guys are the community for P2P Cash. So it's this is on you. This is your baby. So you know, it's between you guys and the organizers. This is the community that's going to make it happen. So shout out to everybody who's here and who made the trip. I guess just in closing, I would just say, I guess the message that I really want to impart to you guys is the importance of privacy and how desperately Bitcoin Cash needs privacy to maintain that competitive edge. So if you are a developer out there, I think that is the chief problem that Bitcoin Cash needs to address in the future. And I hope you guys will look into it. Other than that, just keep pushing P2P Cash for the world, and don't lose sight of the goal. You know, the gold standard in crypto is P2P Cash. It's not, there's a million use cases, but we have to maintain that laser focus on P2P Cash. So other than that, I just want to say thank you for everybody coming out, and thanks to the organizers.
Thank you. Elliot, closing statement?
Thank you also to the organizers. It's been an amazing couple of days, really enjoying myself, and to everyone that made the effort and joined us for this most important mission. And yeah, it's super important that regardless of what we're doing, we do not forget what it is that we're building. Permissionless, decentralized money for the world, for everyone to be able to participate in the financial economy. And also to remember that the power and utility of money is exponentially linked to the size of the network. So keep building your products, keep getting the new users outside of Bitcoin Cash, keep growing that network so that we can realize this dream and everyone can enjoy this the perfect money that we're building. Thank you, have a great bliss.
All right, thank you to our panel. One more round of applause for them. And I've just got a couple of last little announcements before I let you go. Firstly, Ryan, taking a keen interest in cryogenics, clearly hearing the cold storage message, taking that to the next level. Good to see innovation. Okay, we're going to have a little open house section, basically like we did yesterday, but everybody can just be free to mingle and hang out at 4:30 p.m. is when dinner starts. We've only paid for the builder tickets for dinner, so that's builders only. But at 6:30 p.m. In this room, we'll be having a Bitcoin-related quiz for anybody who wants to come along. We'll just, you know, a bit of a fun activity and just socializing as per usual. And at 8:30 p.m., the return of Bachata, very popular from last night. So the people who are there, feel free to come back for that, and anybody else who has a dance partner, come along. Jonathan also wanted me to say that tomorrow night, in the sort of evening slot at 6 p.m., we're having a Street Fighter tournament on A Fifth of Gaming. So if you can go on afifthofgaming.com and sign up for that if you want to wreck some noobs, that's always good. Raffle tickets are still on sale. Final thank you to our sponsors, Mike Komransky, the Bitcoin Cash Podcast, Commercial Kitchen Stop, Ravish Off Ocean, BCH Bull, Mini Satoshi, Molecular, Turek, Steve Thurman, and Bliss 2024. Well, that'll do for day two, and I'll see you back here tomorrow for day three. Thank you, everyone.